the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard, there would be a sacrifice and blood would flow to pay sin's price. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of man, oh, worship the Lamb of glory. On the cross, God loved the world, while all the powers of hell were hurled, no one there could understand. The one they saw was Christ the Lamb, precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory, heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. In John chapter 14, I'll read aloud as you read along silently. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, would you please, if you're able, stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read it together. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage in the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for allowing us to be in church today. God, it's just so good. Now, Lord, do another blessing in our hearts and lives today through the preaching of thy word. Help our pastor, anoint him, help him for that task. Use him to help us today, not only in this room, but those that are listening on the internet this morning. We just ask for a blessing and a help in our lives. And Father, if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, again, remind you to turn your cell phone off or whatever is necessary so it doesn't make noise here, please. One of the privileges I have as a pastor is standing beside the bed of a saint of God and watch them go to heaven. It is a sacred thing to me. It's holy. I was visiting Brother Bishop when he was at the veterans' home. LaVon, his dear wife of many years, had already preceded him to heaven, and we were sitting there talking, and I was looking at pictures he had of her, and I said, "I miss LaVon, Brother Bishop. I miss her." He said, "Oh, Pastor," he goes, "I miss her so much." And then I said, "You know, Brother Bishop, heaven's going to settle everything, isn't it?" Just a day or so before Gloria Agee passed away, I was standing beside her bed there at the house, holding her hand, talking with her for a moment. As I walked away, that 96-year-old saint of God lay there. I thought to myself, you know, heaven's going to settle a lot of things. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He had just told the disciples he was going away and going to leave them. And that's why he made the statement, "Let not your heart be troubled." And what does he bring to them as encouragement? Later in this chapter, in the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter, he will assure them of the Comforter who will come. But the first thing he tells them is, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he assured them about heaven. Heaven will settle everything, ladies and gentlemen. See, well, I like to get some resolution of things here in this life. That would be nice, but here's the deal. Whatever we resolve here is either going to unresolve itself, or something else will take its place, but not in heaven. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. You know what heaven is going to settle in our lives this morning? Well, first of all, it's going to settle all matters that do trouble us. Everything about this life that causes us to have troubled hearts and troubled minds and troubled lives, all of it gone when we get to heaven. By the way, as a child of God, because that's the only way you're getting to heaven, as a child of God, your past is gone now. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God brings up the past in heaven. It's gone. So whatever it is that we take with us in this life, and we're all products of our past and the things of our past and our lives, it's all gone in heaven. It's all done. Heaven settles all matters that trouble us here. Heaven will settle all matters that trouble us right now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if Christ comes back to take us to himself, we're going to leave all the present stuff with us here. All these things now, no more, all done. I don't know where you are in this thing, people. I hope that this situation we've been dealing with these last few years, I hope it's made you realize how valuable it is to know you're going to heaven. See, in case you get it and you die. Well, that's important, but I mean just the fact that whatever we're going through now, this little thing that's occupied our hearts, our minds, our lives, altered the way we live and changed things about our life. In some cases, we may never get back to where they are. That's why I think we got to quit and give up on this idea. Will things ever get back to normal? I don't think there'll ever be another normal that we once knew before this time. That's not a negative statement. It's a reality. Things weren't normal after 9/11. Things aren't going to be normal after this. Things that shake the world are going to make things different for our lives. Looking for something you can't have is going to make it much worse on you. Let me tell you something. We get to heaven, ain't no virus in heaven. There's none of this stuff going on up there. You understand, people? See, the things that trouble us in this life, heaven settles all that. Plus, we get to heaven and it settles the things we wonder about. What could be? What might be? What could be? What's ahead of us? What's in the future? What's coming down the road? Well, you know what? When you get to heaven, that's all settled now. It's all done. It's eternal life in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. You understand? It's a life that starts and has no ending to it. We got that the moment we trusted Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We have it. All we got to do is break this shell, this life, this situation, this mortal coil, rise from this place, and when we get to heaven, the future things are all settled and established. You say, but what happens, Pastor? See, I don't see anybody in heaven asking questions about what's going to be. You're there. It's eternity. It's heaven, ladies and gentlemen. So whatever was in the past is gone. Whatever's in the present we left behind. Whatever's in the future, that's in the hands of God. We're in that place. He's prepared for us now. And the future things, so all our safety, all our concerns, all our problems, all our worries about things, those are all done. We don't even have to wonder about tomorrow because there won't be a tomorrow. Wonder what the next year will hold. There won't be another year. There won't be another day. There won't be another minute. There won't be another hour. There won't be another pass of time. Nothing, because there'll be no time in heaven. Future's gone. I know that's hard for us to get our minds associated with that, wrapped around it, as we like to say. Doesn't take long to wrap some people's minds, brother, I'm telling you. Some people, I don't think you can make a whole lap, quite frankly. But the truth is, heaven settles all that troubles us here. You know what heaven settles? It settles all matters of our faith. Verse 2, you believe in God, believe also in me. Do you ever think about what won't be in heaven? So, yeah, no politics. No, no, no. All those people are in another place. Thank God. No. No, no. Do you ever think about what won't be in heaven? Listen to me, that you enjoy here. There's no faith in heaven. Nothing. So that'll be nice. We don't have to trust. No, come on. You're looking at the faith thing the wrong way. See, last time I checked, faith is still the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Last time I checked it, by faith, people did some pretty amazing things because they had a pretty amazing God they put their faith in. See, we got an idea that somehow faith is a weakness. People that, you know, skeptics and critics and atheists and agnostics, they look at us and say, oh, you people of faith. No, I look at them and say, oh, you fool with no faith. Nah, faith has guided us. Faith has helped us. Faith has strengthened us. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Faith has lifted us. Faith has directed us. Faith has given us hope and reason to believe. Faith has given us an object. The object of our faith is God. And if we put it there and keep it there, oh, that's going to be good. But you know what, friend? Ain't no faith in heaven because you don't need anything. You don't have to trust. You don't have to believe. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to say, well, every part of faith has some degree of doubt. Ain't no doubt in heaven. There's no faith in heaven. It's gone. You know what else is gone in heaven? Prayer. We don't have to pray anymore. Say, oh, that's good. I'm done with prayer. Not me, friend. No, prayer is the lifeblood of the child of God. Prayer is that time where we close out the world and get with God and get a hold of the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, prayer is essential. Prayer is vital. Prayer is breath. It's life. It's health. It's strength. It gets us in touch with the Almighty God of heaven. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But no prayer in heaven. There's nothing to ask for. There's nothing you're going to need. There's nothing you're going to have to pray for anybody else about or with or for. Please don't get prayer and faith on the negative side of the calendar. Would you please? Don't put that on the wrong side of the list. Prayer is a blessing and a help and a strength. But there's no prayer in heaven. There's no wondering in heaven. Well, I wonder what. Well, I don't have to wonder now. I see it. I always kind of thought about, you know, there's a lot the Bible says about heaven, but there's more it doesn't. When Jesus talks about in my Father's house are many mansions, he's talking about that place he's gone to prepare. Well, that's the new heaven. That's not where people are now that go to heaven. They're in a paradise of God. We're not going to wonder what that's like. We're not even going to wonder what a city four square is going to look like. City four square, 1,500 miles high, wide and deep, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold. I mean, all that stuff. No wondering now. No, I wonder what that looks like. I remember back a while back, I was trying to figure something out. Mrs. Casadas, our resident artist here, I had tried to get her to draw me a depiction of what she thought heaven could look like. Didn't give her enough time. Looked it up. Just some really mousy looking pictures. Because you know why? The little peanut finite mind of man cannot comprehend the glory that Jesus has been working on for 2,000 years. Can't get a hold of it. Hey, nothing to wonder about in heaven. Heaven settles all matters of faith. You believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me. You know what? He'll be standing there. He won't look like some hippie, burned out hippie dude from the homosexual 16th century Catholic artist. He'll be standing there. We won't have to wonder what God looks like. You won't have to wonder about that anymore because you'll see him. Yeah, hello? You'll see him. Heaven settles all matter of faith. Things that have helped us, encouraged and strengthened us and guided us and directed so many of those things, they're not in heaven anymore because there's no faith in heaven. It'll all be true. The first man who passed away who was attending our church was Sam Stepp. We had had our first service in August. The first Thanksgiving came around, and Sam Stepp went to heaven the day after Thanksgiving, 1983. I remember Sam Stepp. I don't know if any of you do. It was way back now. He was an executive at what used to be Simpson Paper Mill over here. He would go soul winning with me, and then we'd knock on doors, and he would meet somebody that he worked with, and he'd say, "Oh, I'm this is my pastor, Shasta Baptist. We're in a little Grange Hall building over on Airport Road." The guy said, "What are you doing, Sam?" He goes, "Well, we're talking to people about Jesus." He goes, "I'm getting ready to retire, and what I do, I'm going to go work for him." He pointed at me. I didn't even have a paycheck. I thought, ooh, that's interesting. Thanksgiving Day, he spent the day with his family. The next morning, he was out raking leaves in the backyard. His wife went to the store and came back, and he was laying there next to the rake. Had a massive heart attack and died. First person in our church who died. Had over 380 funerals now since that time. But that first person has always stood out in my mind for many reasons. But one of them was the next Sunday, as a young pastor, I was getting ready to do my first funeral. One of our good men stepped up to me and he said, "You know, preacher," he goes, "Brother Sam is now living in the reality of what we believe by faith." That's 38 and a half years ago. You think about it. You got loved ones over there? They don't have to have faith anymore. They see it now. It's all done. You believe in God. Believe also in me. No one's going to look at Jesus and say, "Well, you let me down, Lord. You just let me down. All that time I trusted you, and now I'm in heaven." And don't really think that's going to happen, do you? No. Heaven settles all matters also, ladies and gentlemen, of the next life. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also." Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years, but he's coming back now. Hello? He's coming back now. And the truth of the matter is, he's prepared for us a place that will include all who know Christ as Savior. We're going to have a reunion there that never ends. All that time, the stuff we said goodbye about here, I think that's another thing won't be in heaven. No goodbyes. When we leave each other's presence, I wonder if we'll just say, "See you later," or whatever. I don't know. There's no good bye, because there's no bye to it, and there's nothing good about it. You got a lot of loved ones over there? Hey? You ever think about how blessed they are today? You think about that for a moment. Hey, that next life thing. That's heaven settles all that. We have a reunion that never ends. Yankees will learn to eat fried okra. That's right. They'll find out what grits are for. Sandpaper. Man, I had cheesy grits the other day. You know, those are pretty decent. Cheesy grits. You put enough cheese in them, you can kill the grit part of it. It's actually, yeah. See, preacher, why is all your stuff always come back to food? Because it ain't heaven if it ain't got food in it, all right? That's all there is to it. And I know there is. Jesus came back and asked the disciples for something to eat as soon as he got back. It was a long trip. So I got that. It's all good. We'll never have severed fellowship with the Lord again. Never. Never. We never grieve the Holy Spirit again. Never. We'll never know a time of quenching his working in our life. We'll never know a time of prayer that's hindered because we asked amiss. We'll never know anything like that. It's all settled now in the next life, and there's unhindered fellowship between you and the Lord. How does Jesus and the Father and the Spirit of God, how do they have personal fellowship with the multiplied God willing millions that'll be in heaven. I have no idea. I know it works here because when I call his name, his presence shows up in my heart and in my life. How does that work? That's one of those things we don't understand here. We will understand it there. You won't have to call out to him. He'll be there. You'll be there. There's something about heaven in this next life that it all resolves this thing about the life. It's life that never ends. It's fellowship that's never hindered. It's a heart that's never broken. After God wipes away tears at the end of things here, the Bible tells us in the new heaven, no tears in heaven. All done, all settled, all taken care of. Heaven settles everything about the next life. Do we spend very long walking around saying, so this is what heaven is like? I've been some heavenly places on this earth. Places that just take your breath away, the beauty and the majesty of them. For me, it's not, you know, cities and all that kind of stuff. And there's a certain beauty to them. But to be honest with you, it's God's creation. Remember when we were up in the Rockies in Canada? Oh, unbelievable, the majesty of it all. Waterfalls cascading down the side of mountains. And we drove along, and there was a moose out there in a pond. His water was up to his shoulders, and he was walking along with his head under the water, chewing grass or whatever it is on the bottom of the pond. Picked his head up, and he had stuff hanging off his antlers. Bald eagles flying in front of the car, and we turned a corner, and there's one of those doll sheep, the white ones with the little short black horns on them, and we were playing some golf and practicing on a driving range, and there were bighorn sheep out in the driving range, and we were hitting the ball, trying to hit one of those sheep, you know, boing, going right between their legs, and they just looked up, and kept walking along. Heavenly. Back when you used to have Famous Dave's restaurant, they had the All-American Feast. They brought it out in a trash can lid. Can I get a witness on that one? They brought it out in a trash can lid. Ribs and fries and chicken and beans and cornbread and muffins. And you know, to the help of Almighty God, I ate one of those things by myself one time. It's supposed to feed 4 to 6 people. See, Pastor, that's gluttony, not the way I did it. You know, the truth is, wow, that was heavenly. Seeing my bride come down the aisle 46 plus years ago, standing on that little platform and looking at her knees knocking together. Me, not her. Say, look at that angel coming down that aisle right there. Heavenly. None of that even touches what heaven will be like. In the next life, heaven settles all matters of the next life. Heaven settles who was right. Hello? Verse number 4, look at it again. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. What an interesting statement the Savior made. He said, I'm telling you the way and the way it is. We get to heaven, we're going to say, he was right. He was right. He was absolutely right. Those times when we doubted about things, those times when our heart was attached so much to this life, we just didn't pay attention to the next life. We get to heaven, we look at our Savior, we see we're in a place called heaven. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but not only salvation, but we realize his word is right, the Bible's right, God is right, his way was right. Didn't always follow it, but his way was right. We get to heaven, settles who's right. Nobody's up there taking a survey on whether or not they think this is what God said or this is what we should do or what do you think about this. There's no political correctness in heaven. There's no testing the mores of society in heaven. There's no checking on what people think about something in heaven. I appreciate people's opinions, but quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of people who in their little peanut mind think they're equal to God in heaven and his word. There's nothing equal to God, and there's nothing equal to his word. And in heaven, friend, anybody going to be standing up there arguing with God about nothing? Because you know why? Because God was and is right. And it'll be settled there in verse number 6 because we'll realize the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ. So we know that, Pastor Johnson, but the world needs to know that. In this pluralistic society in which we live, this world needs to know that. Well, we all have our way to get where we're going and doing what we're going to do, Pastor Johnson. Well, you have, may have a different way to go home today. You may have a different way to drive to Cottonwood. I don't know how you could. You may have a different way to get to another city. You may have a different way to go somewhere on this planet. You may have a different way to travel in this life. You may choose every, it's the way that seemeth right unto a man, but they're in thereof the ways of death. But when we get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, one thing will be crystal clear. Jesus was the only way to heaven. The only way. Period. Now, listen to me carefully. Let's not wait till we get to heaven to declare that. What do you say? Let's be kind to people. Let's respect people's religion, beliefs, and blah, 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 and all that nice, mushy stuff that we're supposed to say when we make statements like this. But let's get clear about something. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And no man goes to heaven but by him. Period. That's all there is. Not apologizing for that. I'm not going to feel bad about that. Not going to feel like, I don't want to be offensive to anybody. What are you going to do? Offend them into hell number one or hell number two? What are we going to do here? Unbelievable to me. Christians are backing off, backing down, and sitting on their salvation like it's an egg and taking the gospel and treating it like it's some kind of a peace pact. It's an ultimatum. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not, you're not, and that's all there is to it. I was talking with a man one day on an airplane. I think it was a Jewish man. He said, well, Reverend. I said, please don't call me Reverend. Reverend's God's title. And if you knew me, you know I'm not Reverend. He said, well, then that you're excluding me because I don't embrace Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't accept him. Accept him as a good man, a prophet, but certainly not the Son of God and most certainly not my Messiah. I said, well, sir, it doesn't change the fact that that's what the Bible says, though. And I give him Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and passages in the Old Testament that verify who Jesus was. I said, what good did it do him? Unfortunately, none. You know why? Because he had his own way. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But they're in thereof are the ways of death. And you hear me carefully. And there is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ as your Savior. Heaven settles all that. Man, I'm so glad I don't have to live a righteous life to get to heaven. He wants you to live a righteous life, but not for heaven's sake. That's for earth's sake, for your sake, for those who come along behind your sake. I am so glad it's not about my religion that saves me. It's about Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, who poured out his life blood on Calvary and gave himself for me. And I, in simple repentance of faith as a sinner deserving hell, trusted Christ as my Savior, and I got saved. And one day I'm going to stand there in heaven and look at him and say, it's the way, it's the right way. This is the right way. Say, well, Pastor, but that excludes other people. Now, listen to me very carefully. No, they exclude themselves. If you won't take the way God gives you, you exclude yourself. God told you the way. You take the way or you don't go. Period. Boy, heaven settles a lot of things, doesn't it? Stuff we scratch our head about, and there'll be no scratching, head scratching in heaven. No wondering. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's stand on our feet, please, this morning, would you?